Hello and welcome to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman alongside Joel Johnson, certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the UConn Huskies, also the 2016 winner of Hartford Magazine's Best Financial Management Award. Joel has been published in Forbes, the Wall Street Journal, and the Hartford Business Journal. He hosts every weekend on WFSB Channel 3 on the Saturday and Sunday morning news with Kara Sundlin, Better Money, where he takes some of your questions and enlightens you on different things in the financial world. And he's also been an analyst on Fox Business, Fox Connecticut, NBC 30, and WTNH Channel 8. He's authored six of his own books, most famously The Money Map, and he's here to share his wisdom with us again today. Joel, how are you this week?
Very good. And John, today it's four overlooked risks that could blindside you in retirement. The four risks that, man, we've got to be cognizant of these things. Even if you're already retired, you need to be aware of these things. I'm going to talk about how some of these things affected my family, so it's very important. Four overlooked risks. Now, when you think about risk as you plan for retirement, you probably think, well, there's investment risk, there's stock market risk. That's what most people think of. The market's going to go down. I'm going to lose my assets. Yes, most people think of that, but what people don't realize is that there are four other overlooked risks that could be even more dangerous. It could bring your retirement to a screeching halt. It could cause all kinds of family issues. It could cause feelings of, you know, I've lost control. All my dreams are going away because of this or that. So we're going to talk about those four overlooked risks today. And again, most people are focused on investment risk or stock market risk. They're completely oblivious to many of the other risks that threaten retirement. So we want to address these potential risks now, not when you're on your heels trying to recover from some type of mistake when it might be a little too late to recover from that mistake. So let's make sure that we cover these things. We don't want to be threatened in retirement by not keeping track of all the risks, including stock market risks. So again, I'm going to reveal four overlooked risks that could blindside you in retirement and what you can do right now to protect yourself. And that's whether you're already in retirement or preparing to retire.
So let's talk about risk number one, which is the risk of needing to care for your parents or supporting your kids, maybe for a longer period than you ever anticipated. And maybe you didn't anticipate having to do those things at all.
Right. And for you and any of your friends that are starting to worry about the health and welfare of your parents, that is a very, very common concern. It's quite frankly a very, very common worry. It's one of those things that sometimes is in the background. We might not even talk about it with our spouses. But do you know people that have had to support their parents? Caring for parents can be a big, big burden. My grandma Hulda, who was married to Pete, and Pete, many of you heard the story about how Pete passed away when I was 36 years old. Well, Grandma Hulda lived well into her 90s, and I remember about 10, 12 years before she passed, she moved into my Uncle John and Aunt Karen's house. They had a house. It was kind of a little ranch up there in Wisconsin, and I remember visiting that house, and they had built an in-law apartment, spent a lot of their own money building an in-law apartment, and Grandpa Pete and Grandma Hulda lived there for, well, Grandma Hulda lived there for 10 or 12 years, well, like I said, into her early 90s. And that became a real burden, not just financially, but emotionally. My guess is, knowing what I know now, it was probably a little difficult between spouses, between Uncle John and Aunt Karen, to care for my Grandma Hulda. So it's not just the money part of it, but it's the emotional situation that can come along with it. You know, how much do you help mom and dad? Is there some kind of a limit? Do you impoverish yourself in your own retirement to help mom and dad? And man, is that a tough, tough emotional choice when we might be put in that circumstance. And sometimes, for instance, I have a friend of mine named Drew that he took care of his mom for a long, long time. He got no help from his siblings, but just knew it was the right thing to do to take care of mom. So this is a risk that you face in retirement. Many people overlook this. They just think of stock market risk, but it's very important you, at least before you're backed up against a wall, think this through. And I'm not at all advocating not being compassionate to to our parents. I mean, we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for our parents, no matter how good or challenging they've been as parents. But we've got to think this through, and maybe it's creating a proper estate plan for them, maybe being involved in that. Maybe it means setting aside a reserve fund or checking where they're at with their finances, becoming an advocate and an advice giver for them. I mean, my dad now, he calls me for advice on decisions he would have made 15 years ago just without even thinking about it. And now he calls me for pieces of advice. So very, very important that you think about, are you going to have to care for your parents, and what is that going to do to affect your retirement? Not in a selfish way, but just in a prudent way so your kids don't have to care for you.
Well, now, today's baby boomers are often referred to as the sandwich generation because they find themselves right in between caring for their parents while at the same time supporting their kids. And Joel, I'm curious to hear your philosophy on this because you have a couple boys who are sort of grown and off the payroll, although not very far away from being at home. And then you have one in college and one still in high school. So what has been your philosophy, you and Wendy, in terms of helping them transition from, you know, under your roof to independent and on their own?
Well, we're really fortunate, Wendy and I. You know, our oldest boy is 27 years old. He lives up in Boston. He's got a good job. He runs an auto shop where he's the service manager. He went to a tech school and just loves cars. And then he went to college. And then he decided, hey, I want to work around cars. And he's supporting himself. He's doing great. We believe that our kids should have some skin in the game for college. So we had Brandon, even though we could have paid for 100% of college, we had him go out and get student loans. And after he graduated, about a year later for his birthday, I wanted to pay off his student loans. He said, no, Dad, I want to do that myself. So he's got a great philosophy about money. We're really fortunate there. He's self-supporting. I might pay for his cell phone, actually, when I think about it, just because it's on the family plan. But, you know, how much is that? $20 a month or something like that. But other than that, he's doing well. Michael is going to graduate this year. He just got done with a Marine Corps Officer Candidate School this last summer. He's going to be self-sufficient. He's getting married next May, and he's going to be getting his assignment from the Marine Corps. So, you know, he's got his life at least for the next 5 years laid out for him, and he's talking about maybe transferring into the FBI. So we don't have to be concerned with Michael. Joel is a sophomore at UConn. We don't know what his situation is going to be. He's a computer science major, which should be a very good paying job. But I think we've instilled in him the philosophy to be self-sufficient. And then my youngest, who is a senior in high school, he's amazingly self-sufficient. I mean, he pays for, well, I'll give you an idea. He just got accepted to the college he wants to, and there's different rooming options. And we were going to pay for the regular dorm style situation. And there's a second level up where he gets a little more privacy, a nicer room. He's sort of in a suite style living. He says, well, I'll pay for that myself because he's saved enough money from working. So we're really fortunate. But who knows about the future? Who knows if some of those kids will want to move back with us? And then what are me and Wendy going to decide at that point? So we don't know if we'll have to care for our kids. We have a lot of clients where their kids have moved back. You know, sometimes after going to 7 years of school, you know, they've gotten their doctorate, but they've moved back home. And some of you, maybe retirement age is past this point, but, you know, how long are you going to allow that? And should you allow that? And I'm not going to tell you what you're supposed to do, but there's different family philosophies. Many, many years ago, families used to all live on the same parcel of land. They had their different houses and they took care of each other. Now we sort of have this self-sufficient philosophy. And again, I'm not going to say what's right or wrong, but we've got to think through that because what you decide there could have a huge impact on your life.
Whatever it is that you decide is your philosophy, you need a financial plan that works and makes that fly. So just be sure that you're planning in that direction. We're talking about the four overlooked risks that could blindside your retirement. Risk number two, Joel, is the risk that you'll live a lot longer than you think. Why is that a risk?
Well, because we're simply living longer than ever before. I mean, do you remember years back, probably 20 years ago, when somebody would die at 65, 67, and we'd say, oh, they lived a great life. They lived a good life, a good long life. Now, if somebody dies at 65 or 67, we say, well, what happened? They died so young.
Yeah, we just had a friend at church that died at 64 last month, and everybody is stunned. And you're right. 30 years ago, that would have been fairly commonplace, but everybody's beside themselves that he was gone so soon.
Well, when Social Security was created back in the 30s by President Roosevelt, the average life expectancy was 64 years old. I mean, think about that. You know, we're promising you benefit at age 65, but half of you are going to be dead by age 65. So that's one of the reasons why Social Security is under stress, is because we're living longer. So, you know, the last place you want to be is 80 years old, full of life, and flat broke. According to Forbes magazine, I read this a little while back, I think they said over the last 200 years or so, life expectancy has increased by 2 or 3 years every decade. So if you're in your 50s or 60s today, even by the time you're expected to live, let's say it's mid-80s, life expectancy might increase to, instead of age 85, age 89. Maybe it's from 90 to 94. So we've got to be really concerned with how long we're going to live. And how does this affect our investment philosophy? Well, it means when you invest your money for income in retirement, you've got to be giving yourselves about 3% raises every single year, which, unless you have a good investment plan and you have enough money, is going to put a real strain on your portfolio. And that's where we can come in, myself and my team, is designing that income plan so that you get those raises and you have the confidence that you're not going to run out of money. So again, we're talking about these four things, these four overlooked risks in your retirement. And the first one is caring for parents or having to support your kids. The second one we've talked about so far is living longer. You know, I had one grandpa that lived on my dad's side. Grandpa Maury lived into his late 70s. But my grandma Betty, who was married to Maury, my dad's mom, lived into her early 90s. My other grandma, as I mentioned earlier, Grandma Hulda, lived into her early 90s. And I don't think any of them would have expected to live that long when they immigrated over to this country in the early 1900s. And again, if we don't deal with these two overlooked risks, if we don't have some kind of a plan for them, it could really torpedo our retirement. Successful retirement is not built on assets. It's built on income. How do we build an income plan that takes care of these overlooked risks? Successful retirement, again, is not built on assets. It's built on income. And the traditional go-to options for generating income today, some people say they're dead. The good news is there are all kinds of new options. Through the right planning, we can set aside reserve funds for the unexpected. Some of these options you probably don't even know exist. So let us prove to you how you could turn your current savings and investments into an income workhorse in retirement through creating the proper plan. Let us do that for you. There's absolutely no cost. There's nothing to lose. If you've saved at least $250,000 for retirement, be one of the first 7 callers to get your customized income analysis, and we'll help you address these 4 overlooked retirement risks. I'm telling you, most of you are not paying attention to these things. Our income plan will help you do that. We can talk about reserve accounts. We can talk about plans. We can even talk about the experience of our clients, the experiences that our clients have had. So can you generate more income in retirement while reducing your risk? Most of the time, the answer is yes, and we want to show you how. Call right now for your income analysis. We get together with you. There's absolutely no obligation or no pressure. We want to do this as a service to you. Call 1-800-705-1232. That's 1-800-705-1232. We'll also give you our guide to maximizing your retirement income. 1-800-705-1232. Call now to set up your visit.
One more time, 800-705-1232. You can call or you can text. If you do text, be sure to include your first and last name when you come in for your review. With the team at Johnson Brunetti, you'll get a copy of one of Joel's books, The Money Map or Forced to Retire. If that fits your situation the best, you take your pick from the library there. Whichever one you want is yours. Again, the number 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. 1232. You're listening to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Joel is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti. You know, when we mention the word risk when it comes to investing, if you're like most people, automatically you think of stock market risk, but there really are many other risks that you face as you plan your retirement, and it's possible you won't know what hit you until it's too late. So that's why we're unveiling our 4 overlooked risks that could blindside you in retirement. So let's continue this conversation, Joel. We talked about having to care for your parents or your kids later on in life. We talked about the risk of living longer than you expect, longevity risk. What about the risk of having too much wealth tied up in your house. It seems like a lot of people come in for visits with us and they have this sheet that shows their net worth. But the reality is a lot of that net worth is their house. It's not really investable assets.
Well, I can think of a client right now, a couple that came in to see us. They had a certain amount of money they wanted to achieve in retirement as far as monthly income. We analyzed their Social Security and they were a little short on their Social Security, so we needed to create about another $3,000 a month of income, but they only had $250,000 saved. So they own two houses. They had $250,000 saved. If you take $36,000 a year or $3,000 a month off of $250,000, you're going to run out of money. You can't take that much. That's well over 10% per year. But we suggested they sell one of those homes. They were thinking of moving out of Connecticut anyway and only coming back here from time to time. They didn't need to keep the Connecticut house. They had a house down south. They were going to travel anyway. They had $400,000 of equity locked up in that Connecticut house. If they added the $400,000 they could sell the house for to the $250,000 they already had saved, now they can easily take that $3,000 a month and continue to own that second house, their main house in retirement, completely outright. Now, I said all those things fairly fast, and you maybe didn't follow as quick as I said them, but the bottom line is they just had too much of their net worth tied up in homes, and that can be a real problem. Now, many of you have thought, well, my home is my biggest asset. I'm going to sell that and downsize for retirement and use that money for retirement, and then your home value hasn't gone up maybe as much as you thought, and who knows what's going to happen with what's going on here in the Northeast with jobs going south and so on. So we've got to take a look at that, and if you're counting on that, freeing up those assets, we need to have a real strong plan. If a big portion of your wealth is tied up in your home, it leaves you with very few options. And then what about liquidity? How are you going to get money out of your house? Now, some of you can get a home equity line of credit, even a reverse mortgage, which we haven't even talked about on this program. We don't have time to get to today because that might be a good move or a bad move. But the bottom line is your house isn't a liquid asset. And so this is a very, very important overlooked risk. And I'm not telling you to go out there and sell your house, but it needs to become part of the analysis that we do for you when we come to projecting your retirement income and coming up with a strategy to maximize your income with the least amount of risk.
The last risk on our list today, Joel, is relying on traditional go-to, quote-unquote, go-to income options. What do we mean by go-to income options, and why is it a risk to rely solely on those things?
Well, let's back up to something I said earlier, which is successful retirements are not built on the amount of assets that you have. They're built on the ability to generate income in retirement and give yourself raises. It's critical. We've got record low interest rates. I mean, think of what you could earn on a CD right now. Over the last few weeks, the 10-year bond, you loan money to the U.S. government for 10 years, you're going to get a 2.3, 2.4% interest rate. You're not even keeping up with inflation. And so we've got to figure out a way to generate more income for you. And we do this all the time, but you need to know, how am I going to generate my income? What am I going to do about, you know, vanishing pension plans, longevity, Social Security that might not keep up with the cost of living? And you need to not just have a plan. You've got to have a diversified income plan. You need to be able to take your income from different sources, Social Security, pension, selling your house, as we mentioned earlier. Some people take a reverse mortgage. Again, I'm real cautious about reverse mortgages, but I had a client named Ann who lived over in Simsbury, and she took a reverse mortgage on her house, and it was the best thing she ever did. She lived in that house for another 15 years. The bank was on the hook for the reverse mortgage, not her, and she created a real nice income, and it gave her the ability to leave her investments alone. She knew she was going to move someday. The bank just simply gets paid back for the mortgage when she sold. But instead of spending her retirement assets, she spent some of the equity in her home and was able to stay there in the home. Now, again, that's not right for everybody. The point is, we've got to not rely on the traditional retirement options for income. And we've got to analyze, I mean fully analyze, your whole financial picture. Where are you going to get your income? How are you going to give yourself raises of about 3% per year? And then once we figure out what that need is, how do we build an investment plan that serves that need? So many brokers, do this backwards. You come in to their office and all they want to talk about is how they can pick better funds or better stocks than the guy up the street. The broker talks about how smart their firm is. They've got some proprietary investment secret that nobody else has. Come on. You need to build your income plan first. Have a true projection of what your needs are. Know what the unexpected things are, some of these risks that we've been talking about, and then build an investment plan to serve that income need. It ought to be a red flag when somebody starts talking about how they can pick better investments than you have before they've put together a full financial plan.
I'm fascinated by what you said, Joel, about successful retirements not being built on assets, but on the ability to generate income. I know we've seen people who have, $350,000 and they think they're in trouble because they don't think they have enough for retirement, but they actually don't spend a lot. They have a couple of pensions, maybe state employees and a couple of good pensions, their Social Security. Maybe they have an old rental property, a duplex that brings in some income, and they don't really even need any of that $350,000. And then you might have somebody with $2 million, but they don't have any of these other income streams and they're actually in trouble. So it really has nothing to do with how much you have saved.
No, it doesn't. And many times that person with the $2 million doesn't have any kind of a diversified income stream. They're relying completely on a portfolio of mutual funds, maybe a few individual stocks, to provide them income. And it looks what's happened to the market lately. It's gone up like crazy. That person might feel very, very wealthy, but then all of a sudden the market corrects like it will. And think about the corrections, the two big, actually they're not even corrections, they're bear markets that we've had over the last 17 years. One time it was down about 40%, the second time 38%, and that's just measuring blue chip stocks. So what happens if you count on a non-diversified income stream and all of a sudden those assets drop? And all of you can say, well, I know the market always comes back. I haven't lost until I sold, but you don't feel that way when you're in retirement. And those of you that have been in retirement a while, you know what that means. You know what I'm talking about when you think about the panic and the fear you have that the market's going to keep going down. Every news outlet, whether it's the smart ones like Bloomberg or the network evening news, is telling you it's different this time. What are we going to do? And you're hearing all that and you're scared to death. You've got to have a diversified income stream. So the question I'm asking you is, can you generate more income in retirement? Can you pay less in taxes? Can you have contingencies set up for emergency things that you don't even think of? We've talked about some of them today. You know, kids moving in, parents moving in, helping out someone. Maybe it's even healthcare costs you haven't thought of. Can you generate the income to cover those things? Most of the time, the answer is yes, you can. And we can show you how. We might not be able to do it for every single listener on the program today. Some of you are a little bit behind the eight ball. We're willing to help you, but we could help most people, most of you, generate more income in retirement and have more confidence. This is really the win-win, right? It's the ultimate win-win. You have more money coming in, less money going out, a lot more peace of mind, and this could make a huge difference in your lifestyle in retirement. Even if you're already retired, we may be able to maximize your income and reduce your risk. And I'm not referring to a product here. This is done with simple, sound investment strategies built on the foundation of a real financial plan. If you've saved at least $250,000 for retirement, we can take your call right now to set up your visit. 1-800-705-1232. We'll address these four overlooked risks that can blind you. We'll give you an income plan. We'll analyze your investments and we'll make it so simple that you can understand it no matter how sophisticated you are. If you're really sophisticated and you want all the backup, we'll give you that too. You won't know what's possible if you don't make the call. It's not going to cost you a dime. We'd love to visit with you. We'd love to help you. And I promise you, there's no pressure to become a client. Most people don't. That's okay. We've been serving people in New England now for many, many years. So call now, 1-800-705-1232. That's 1-800-705-1232. Set up your visit. We want to help and serve you.
800-705-1232 is the number. That's 1-800-705-1232. No cost or obligation to come in for your Money Map retirement review. And when you leave, you'll take with you a copy of one of Joel's books. You can call or you can text. Just be sure to include your first and last name if you do text so we know who we're talking to there. 800-705-1232 is the number. That's 800-705-1232. 3-2. That's all we have time for this week on Money Wisdom. For Joel Johnson and everybody at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the UConn Huskies, I'm John Stillman. We'll talk with you next week. Same time, same place on Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Have a great week.
Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products and services are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents in all appropriate jurisdictions.